Welcome to Blog Talk Radio in high fidelity.
Welcome to a Tuesday edition of the Weekly Conversation, the conversation you're a part of. Wow, got a frog in my throat for some reason. Kermit, you got to go, buddy. U.S. military strikes in Yemen hit two training camps, getting ISIS fighters. Thank you, thank you, thank you. If Obama did that, I would thank him, but it was Trump. Thank you. Nancy Pelosi just released a statement. Oh my God. You know, now that they're going to get rid of Obamacare and it's going to, you know, he's going to try to demolish it and all this stuff and get rid of it, even though it's falling apart anyways, you know, all these American people are suffering because of this reduced cost sharing thing he's going to eliminate. Reduced cost sharing? Okay, why is everything I'm paying in healthcare going up? Before me and my wife got married, I'm going to say this. I never paid hardly anything when I went to the doctor. I didn't have a copay. And I might pay like $5 to see my doctor, if that. Now they want $30 for me just to see my regular doctor. Then I got to pay because I get charged after that. That's ridiculous, but you know, I'll get into all that crap. I want to get into the fact that I don't know if you heard about the Jessica Chambers murder case, but Monday the jurors again failed to reach unanimous decision and the judge declared a mistrial. I want to get into my thoughts, why I think what's going on. Did you hear that? I don't know if you heard that. That was the Democrats talking about the 49th. Record high stock market closing. I'm going to get into that and much, much more. So welcome to the conversation that you're a part of. Colossians 3:17. And whatever you do or say, do it as a representative of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God our Father. I kind of have a problem with that, but not in a good way, though, because I don't look at myself as great because I don't want to be seen as prideful. And there's that thin line. So, you know, I don't, but I just bust my butt and I do what I do. I want to thank you for the conversation that you're a part of. And thank you for being here. Strikes on Yemen. We don't have troops, sir. But we have strikes all the time in areas where there are no troops, where there are known training camps, where there are known ISIS militants and Islamic extremists and Al-Qaeda people that want us dead. And it's nice to see that we're actually getting some, we're making headway in this whole thing. Somewhat. I mean, this is the hardest fight we have to fight. Because you got to remember, folks, this isn't like, okay, we're going into the Colts house with the Raiders. We're going to take on the Colts. No, it's not like that. It's not like Manchester United taking on Crystal Palace. And you're going to one place. They're everywhere. They're everywhere. And we're having to fight and attack. And that's what we have to do. We have to slowly and methodically get these people a little bit at a time and disrupt what they're doing. And that's what's going on. That's what Trump is doing. He's actually doing something which a lot of other people are not doing. Wow. I want to get into this because this just really This is, as Peter Griffin would say, this grinds my gears. And it does. You have someone like the great Nancy Pelosi. I mean, I love Nancy. She's just the greatest. I mean, she is just an amazing woman, you know, who basically had exemptions for, you know, while President Trump brags about his health care sabotage, hardworking families are suffering. Well, before he started the hardworking, before he had the sabotage, I was having hard time and I was suffering. I was having my health care go through the roof. That's the problem we have. But, oh, who cares? You know, says the lady who exempted herself from Obamacare and was giving passes so that her friends didn't have to use Obamacare or get fines for it. Says the person who said, we have to pass the bill to find out what's in it, you know, because God forbid if Sarah Palin said that, they'd be raking her over the coals. That would be on Late Night with The Last Word with Lawrence O'Donnell 75 times in a row. I don't get it. I don't understand. But these liberals don't care. Why, you really think Trump's really going to help for the American people? It's like when you get the guys from InfoWars and they'll go walking around and they don't know any better. They just flip them off and tell them to go to hell and F off. And because they don't know any better. It's like those chicks with the pink hats, you know, little pink pussycat hats. Why aren't they at Harvey Weinstein's house or Bill Cosby or Bill Clinton's house? Why aren't they protesting? I would sure love to know that one, folks, because they're not there. No, they're not, folks, because that's not their agenda. The problem you have with a lot of the leftist people is take Hillary Clinton. She could say something. Sarah Palin could plagiarize her and say the same thing, and they would make fun of Sarah Palin for saying it. It's a double standard. They're never going to admit. They don't care. I mean, Trump and Hillary Clinton, they're not going back and forth on. She's on like the, what is it? What is she on, like 75th excuse for losing the election? Now she's, it was like 9/11. I'm like, are you kidding me? Can you just admit you lost? You suck. You're evil. You're hated. No one likes you. Pardon me, folks. But, you know, it's kind of just like, I guess, like, she thought she would just have, she had the name Clinton, so she was going to just landslide. Like, you suck and you lost. Get over it. That's Hillary Clinton for you. I love her. It's just amazing when you get like people from like InfoWars to talk to these people. I'm like, well, you basically crap on Hillary Clinton. No, you don't. You love her. But if Sarah Palin did it, you would crap on her. No, we wouldn't. No. I just don't understand. Maybe I'm not supposed to. Maybe this stuff is not supposed to make sense. I love this. I love it. I love it. I love it. But this was sums it up. A New York school staff member who was arrested in 2011 at the Occupy Wall Street events. New York school staff salaries up $555 million. Occupy teacher gets over $300,000 a year, report says. Can you believe this crap? school workers in the, one of the nation's largest cities, home to $500 million. You know, they're getting that much more, $500 million more last year than in previous years. And Occupy Wall Street lady, this lady, David Zucker, hasn't had a regular classroom job since November 2011 when he was moved after he was arrested at an Occupy Wall Street protest. The city paid the 49-year-old Zucker $362,647 during the past year, which includes back pay and nearly 3 years of his salary due to his disciplinary hearing. A teacher making that kind of money. Oh, but no, it's Wall Street. All these fat cats, these billionaires. Okay, folks, I guess I'm going back to school. I'm going to be a New York teacher. And they call us the assholes when they're the ones making six figures, when they're bitching about all these rich, evil fat cats. I don't. Okay. Yeah, I'm getting in. Here we go, folks. The Partridge Family bus left, and I wasn't on it. Yeah, I got some people that are trying to tell me when you go to an ABC website and NBC. I can bring up an NBC website where Bill Cosby was given a Presidential Freedom of Medal honor. And there's actually Barack Obama says, well, yeah, we can't really take, there's no protocol to take back the award from Bill Clinton. Nah. But Bill Cosby, because he was accused of having sex with people with, here, take a pill. I mean, it's, if only my wife knew what she did when she was asleep, when I did her, just kidding. But there's video where Obama's like, well, we can't really take the medal back. Now, Anthony Weiner and Weinstein are fake. Bill Clinton and Bill Cosby are not fake. Just to make that clear, because I have some liberal hippie douches on my page that are trying to tell me, you know, I do my research. Plus, it was just funny anyways. Because two of them that got it do have an issue. But that's how it goes, folks. That's how it goes. That's how the cookie crumbles sometimes, you know. I don't get it. And I think they need to start waking up, because as I was reading a thing on the Blaze Network, and they are reporting the NFL is still losing viewers because there are still players that are still, I'm not going to ever stand up for national anthem. I don't care. And there's a lot of people that are basically taking that and saying, okay, if that's what you're going to do, that's fine, because I'm done. I'm done. If that's how you're going to be, I'm done. I'm done.
I'm done with
that. Oh, I know. And their ratings keep plummeting and plummeting and plummeting. And they're going to have to do something if they want to keep somebody. I mean, there's going to be people that are going to say, I'm going to watch the NFL. I don't give a crap about that. If they take in, I wish they'd just move on. But, I mean, it's just, yeah, but think about it like, yes, and I said this on last Thursday's program. I loved watching Jay Leno. He pulled in over 6 million viewers by himself. ABC, CBS, and NBC, all their late nights combined, are over 8 million. One guy on NBC used to bring in 2 million less than three networks bringing combined. put that in your pipe and smoke it. The reason why is because I want to watch. I want to laugh at late night. I just don't want to have a political bashing. Even if it was about Obama, I wouldn't want them to sit there and spend the whole hour bashing Obama. Because I would have turned it off. I'm like, yeah, it's okay, but after a while, it gets really old. I want to laugh at everybody. I want to laugh at sports segments. I want to laugh at announcer from Atlanta that screws up in the weather and falls off the stage. I want to laugh at anything that happened during the day.
I love Reynolds' headlines.
Yeah. He was genius. Now I want to get into this. Probably not the subject for young kids, so if they're around, they probably don't need to hear this, but there was a mistrial declared in the burning death of 19-year-old Jessica Chambers. And when I took restaurant law, it's hard. Okay, well, a kid falls out of a second-story window. There was a screen in it. Who's to blame? Is the hotel to blame? The screen should have held the baby in. No, you need to watch your baby. Those screen doors, those screens are not made to hold in a baby that's 12 pounds, 13, sorry. Who's at fault? And when, then you have to go look up or, you know, this happened. The person slipped and fell outside the restaurant. Who's to blame? Is the restaurant because they didn't clean the sidewalk, or is it the customer because, hey, it's icy and snowy. They need to be extra careful. And we had a caution slippery sign outside, and we had this, and you have to go look up court cases. What did they say, and what was the evidence? And you had to go through, I forget what they're called. You had to go to like a law library where they have all these cases, and you had to go look up cases, and it's not easy. I mean, like the O.J. Simpson case. Well, I know O.J. Simpson did it. He murdered. I know he did. But none of the evidence they gave me backed that up. So I had to say he was not guilty. And I think some people in this case, well, the evidence that was brought forth was not enough to convict him of this murder. That's near Batesville where the trial was, about 50 miles south of Memphis is where this case took, where this court case happened. And it's one of these where I think it's, okay, well, I know he's guilty. I'm saying he's guilty, where this person's like, well, I don't think there's enough evidence to convict him. So I have to say not guilty, even though I probably believe he did it. I mean, he is black, not that color matters, but you know, she was set on fire and burned alive, and she had severe burns covering 93% of her body. And the police, and with all the evidence and everything, the jury just got deadlocked, and it was a deadlocked thing. And this was a huge case. It's been mainstream news, and it's just, I mean, knowing when I took that restaurant law class, it's not easy. It's not easy. But I hope there gets to be justice. So now with this, when I was reading over it, I really didn't see if there's, since it's a mistrial, I don't know if they're going to sit there and, okay, let's retry him. Let's try it again. Let's see what happens. You know, if he gets retried or whatever, we'll have to wait and see. But it's not an easy, a lot of people think, oh, well, he's guilty. You know, it's simple cut and dry. And a lot of cases, it's not. Because you have this person say this, this witness says this, and then you have someone else that will contradict and say, well, nah, what my witness saw contradicts what he said. And so It's going to be interesting to see how this case progresses. You know, if there's a retrial, how that goes. So I will keep you up to date on the latest on that court trial and stuff. And I want to get to something that's kind of near and dear to my heart. As many people know, you know, black people have their hood, their ghetto. You know, it's you know, the cowboys have their ranch. You know, and they have where they go, where they, you know, and I had a lot of friends growing up. My producer's like shaking her head, like, Lord help me. Well, they do. I mean, I know people that are at home on a farm. That if they were in New York, they wouldn't know how to deal with the traffic and all the cars and everything. And, you know, that's what I'm trying. See, I guess my wife is slash producer is explaining to me that I need to be more specific for people like her. Now I'm probably going to get beat up. But I had friends that lived in a trailer park that had like a mobile home. And I identified with Trailer Park Boys. That show, when I saw that, I was a fan from season one when it came out. And I was confused at first because what they do is they go, here's season one, bang, here's 12 episodes or whatever they do. And you can watch all 12 at one time.
3 days, that's all I
watched. When it first came out, I'm like, so I can watch more than one episode? Like, it's not like they don't, like, release an episode a week. Yeah, and that's how Netflix is. When they do a series, they put out, like, a whole season all at once. And I loved that. I was hooked on that. I'm like, Lord, all I can think of right now, and no offense at all, but I just got Will Ferrell from Talladega Nights, Oh Baby Jesus. You know, I just got this, like, I hope my wife likes this show, or at least respects it enough for me to watch it. And she found it, and she could not put it down. We had like a little Wi-Fi thing, and that's what we used for internet when we were at home. And she saved up the Wi-Fi too, so she could spend 3 days doing nothing but watch it on her when she was home. Yeah, that's when she was looking for a job. But that was in between, too. Like, she was out looking, too. And Anthony Voigt, a buddy of mine from high school, had a thing up, and it says, John Dunsworth, dead at 71. And I'm like, that's James Leahy's real name. That has to be real, because he doesn't BS. If he posts something, he is pretty much accurate and right on. And I got a kick in the gut when I heard he had passed away. Because me and my wife, we got to go see them when they came. Randy and Mr. Leahy came, and I was on the floor. It was so hilarious. And the one thing that I will say I loved about the whole thing was, okay, folks, we did the meet and greet. $20, you can go meet and greet. You get one photo each. And they're like, BS. If you want 50 photos, you can have 50 photos. We don't care. We're going to be over here at a bar after this, so feel free. If you want 75 photos, take as many as you damn want. I don't care. You're here. We're able to come here because of you guys. And I'll never forget that. They were just like, man, hey, what do you do? How you doing? Yeah, oh yeah, I got a rubber in his belly. And with heavy and broken hearts, the family of John F. Dunsworth would like to let people know that our amazing husband, father, and grandfather, John Dunsworth, has passed away. John left this world peacefully after a short and unexpected illness. Family would like to request that our privacy is respected during this time. And we don't, And I actually looked into this, and what I can, all we know is he was sick with something that they're not either telling us or they have no idea, and he never recovered. And I hope, if it is something that I hope ever know what he died from, that's okay with me. You know, and he's from Canada, and there, he's a human being. They respect people's privacy. And Michael Smith did an amazing thing. He goes, "I am beyond devastated. John was a beautiful guy, brilliant and fascinating. I am forever grateful for knowing him. Rip my friend Bubbles." And he was just, they were, the way they were on TV, they were like that in real life. Like, "Hey, what do you do? How you doing?" Like, "All right." It was just cool to have a show that I'd watched since the beginning, and I got to go and meet him and say, you know, "This is awesome. I can't wait." It was just amazing. So it's just, it's not often that you get to meet somebody that, like, "Hey, cool." Like maybe someday I can be the security guard of a trailer park, you know? Never know. And as you all heard earlier, that audio recording I did of the mainstream networks, as I move on, talking about, what was that again? Oh, yeah, the record high stock markets. Now, I actually talked to a guy. We got into a conversation, and I could see this happening, where the market is being manipulated by the other side, and what they're going to do is, okay, they're going to make the stock market crash to where it's going to be a depression, and they're going to make the stock market plummet on purpose. They're going to crash it on purpose. "Oh, look, here's, oh, you thought the stock market, look," and they're going to, they say, just like I've met people that say, if you know the right people, they'll tell you, "Okay, if silver's at, wait till silver goes down to $9 an ounce, buy $1 billion worth, because it's going to go up to $40 an ounce, and then sell it all." And you'll make, you know, they can manipulate the market just like they can manipulate gold and silver, and they can tell you when to buy, when to sell. Whether it's true or not, I don't know, but there's a lot of people that believe it. You know, the market's being manipulated from one side just to make someone look good, and then they're going to crash it on purpose to make, "Hey, let's blame Trump for this huge stock market crash," when he didn't have anything to do with it. But, you know, I will say this. The left is not really talking about the fact that the S&P 500, the NASDAQ, are all through the roof. Except for Harvey Weinstein's company's stock. But hey, what do you expect? But hey, maybe someday the liberal media will wake up. Here's a question I'll ask all my viewers. Name something that you trust more than Hillary and the media. Think about that. Put that in your pipe and smoke that one. Because, I mean, Hillary was actually in Britain because she had an issue again, and I guess they put her in a hospital.
She broke a toe.
Broke a toe? By that.
No, she did. But she can't tell the truth on how she broke it.
Huh.
She fell backwards on her toe. Her toe got caught and she fell backwards. While she was running in high heels.
Because she had an interview, and they asked her about her husband, and, you know, with this Harry Weinstein thing, you know, it's good to bring up her husband's past, and, "Oh, that's the past. We don't need to go there."
Yeah.
I would love to see her dildo collection, because I'm sure it's massive, because I guarantee you, her and Bill haven't done it for how long. I'm just saying.
Radio talk.
Hey.
Hey. Well, apologize to your listeners.
To anyone under 18, I apologize. To liberals, I'm not sorry, but yeah. That's how I feel. I'm sorry, but I don't know. See, I got balls. Hey. But anyways, I guess my point with this whole thing is, like, she won't talk about her husband. You know, but let me tell you something. She's sure in the heck wanting to know about Trump and all his things that were in the past. And I have said this before, folks, and I'll say it again, you know. If you really thought that if you went to Trump University, you were actually getting a legitimate, full-fledged degree, I want to look up and see if Trump University was ever actually was legitimate. So, like, if you got an actual degree there, you could go to an employer and say, yes, I graduated from Trump University, and it is a accredited school. Because I would look at Trump University as I would those, as seen on TV, making money packages, the real estate packages where, that's right, folks. See, with my package right here, you can buy real estate with no money down. See, so many people are saving up money to buy real estate when the real estate's rising in price faster than they're saving. And you don't need to have a down payment. That's the whole basis of my system. I mean, you may get one or two people out of Trump's university that really actually are successful, but it's just how it is. I'm going to get into this because I love. Well, I used to really love college sports, like the basketball and the football and stuff. I used to live for that crap. And, you know, as you all know, Rick Pitino, the Louisville basketball coach, has been fired amid NCAA corruption investigations that basically, okay, a Purdue sponsored by Nike. Nike says, okay, hey, under the table, they'll pay a family $100,000 if their son goes to that university. And basically, Adidas is accused of giving players, family, a lot of money to get that person to funnel them into Louisville. It's like when Notre Dame couldn't beat USC in football, and guess what happened? Oh, well, guess what? They had to have their national championships taken away, their Heisman trophies and all this stuff taken away because they were doing illegal stuff. That's why Pete Carroll left. He's like, look at the NFL and look at Bill Belichick with, you know, look at the Patriots. They are cheating and they're just getting a slap on the wrist and a fine. Are you kidding me? Hello? You know, and what is it, the Rutgers? I think it's the Rutgers football team where they're accused of taking, the administration administrators were taking tests for the players. I mean, I know when Purdue had Glenn Robinson in 95, he left because they couldn't, it was like 93 he left. They couldn't, 93/94, they couldn't keep covering up the fact that they were doing his homework and taking his test for him. When you saw how, on this interview, how easy it is for somebody to actually take, and Joe Paterno showed how easy it was to take and, how would you say this, break a NCAA rule on live TV. He goes, it's just for demonstration purposes, but I just broke an NCAA rule. I violated one. There's no way. I don't know how you could tell me that Alabama is successful as they are without breaking some sort of rule. I don't know how they can be national champions almost every year and not B, doing something to listen. And it's like, I used to love college football and basketball, but now when it's like, okay, well, if our team stinks, like, it's almost like, well, who can cheat better? Who can manipulate the system to win better? Like one of these guys said in an interview about Lance Armstrong, he goes, if you were to bust a team in the Tour de France that is blood doping, there wouldn't be a team to race. Somebody in every team is blood doping. And if you don't know what that is, it's where they take your blood and they take an IV and they take your blood out and then they reinsert it later. And it gives you lots of adrenaline and lots of energy, and they can't detect that you're doing it because you're putting your blood back in. And he goes, if you were to eliminate a team that blood doped, there wouldn't be a team left. And that's how I feel college is. It's like, well, everyone's cheating. It's just Louisville got caught. I guarantee you at some point, Nike was doing it. They're probably not now, but at one time, they probably did do it. Now, don't go crying saying, oh, you said, Nick. I said, they probably, I'm 99% sure they did. You'll never be able to prove it, but. If you want to laugh, if you want to have a great, like, 7-minute laugh as I move on, it's sad, but there's an NBC reporter that was reportedly fired because he leaked a Lawrence O'Donnell meltdown. And the meltdown's the funny part.
I've been trying to find that all day.
Oh, I've got it on my computer. It's hilarious. Man, I can't hear anything in my ear. And it's amazing how, like, he's about ready to kill somebody in, like, 4, 3. And he just, like, smile on his face, act like nothing's wrong. That is just funny, funny, funny stuff because he's like freaks out and melts down. I guess whoever released it, they fired him over it. God forbid you're going to get I get emotional. I get riled up. I mean, election night is my Super Bowl. It's my WrestleMania. When election night happens, I'm like on cloud nine. I'm like, yeah, I'm looking at all the results and okay, we're right now. It looks like we're going to get 2 more seats in the House, but we might lose one in the Senate. And I'm just, you know, we get emotional. We're going to get pissy sometimes, you know, when I can't get a connection or this doesn't work, I get pissy, but I just try to calm down and give it to God. But that's what we do. We're human. It's just when you see someone like him do it, it's more hilarious. I would just love to work for MSNBC and just be like behind the cameras with like a Facebook Live thing, like live stream, just to see all that kind of stuff that goes on. Because there's probably a lot of that that goes on. At least that probably goes on more often than you think. That's my guess. I don't know, but. I don't know if you've heard this, but PETA is actually working with the Mississippi school because they don't want to kill mockingbirds. Because they want to ban the book. Kidding, folks. But I guess because there's some strong words in there. You know, just like that Huckleberry Finn movie with that Huck's running buddy, that black fella. Can't think of his name right now, but it's not the point. The point is they used terminology back then, and you need to learn about it. You need to know about your history. You need to learn about this stuff. I'm going to read this book just because it's probably going to be banned before they burn it like in Fahrenheit 451. Mock Yeah, ing, yeah, bird. Mockingbird, don't everybody have you heard? We're not going to kill a mockingbird. Hey, it's just, I don't understand what, you know, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. People are getting offended. I mean, I could take any book and I could probably find a word. Okay. Yeah, that letter A offends me because it's not capitalized. I mean, just give a book, just give any book to a liberal and they can find something offensive about anything. So, I mean, what the hell? Why don't we ban everything? I'm just saying. But Harper Lee's, I never read the book, but I want to read the book now just because they want to ban it. Just to find out what's so, and I'm sure I'm going to laugh my butt off because it's something ridiculous. It's, well, okay. Well, then why would, if it's not funny, why would you read it in school? Why would they have allowed it in school if it's not funny? I don't know. That's my liberal joke there because liberals, my wife is like, producer, like, I'm going to scream right now. But hey, that's just how it goes, folks. We got about 16 minutes left in the program, and I want to thank you so much for tuning in. But I guess it's not the book itself. It's certain words that they use. And I won't say what words I've been told they are, but you can kind of figure it out. And it's just, I don't understand. Because it's not like they're, it's not like the story is offensive. It's not like, well, they're offended by what the story says. It's just the one or two words they use. That they got their panties in a bunch or whatever. I don't know. To me, I see Hitler at work because they're trying to erase everything. They're trying to tear down monuments and tear down everything. Oh, and that's not Trump trying to tear down the monuments either. This is kind of sad. A CNN reporter mocks Mitch McConnell for needing help with stairs, not realizing that he had survived polio. And they're like, don't fall. They're like, be careful. They yelled something. And I'm like, I mean, have respect for the dude. I mean, seriously. I mean, have respect for the guy. That's all I'm saying. It's just crazy. There's people that I guess I don't get it. It's just, I mean, I guess I don't understand because Trump wants to eliminate taxes for us, help us out. And these liberals act like he doesn't care about us. I know he cares about us because he's not about, okay, whatever health care bill comes about, it's not going to be Trump anything. It's for America. It's not about, we're not chanting Trump, we're chanting USA together. I never thought there's a white rapper that basically said, bleep Eminem. He goes, I was inspired by you. I have all your music. I've memorized all your lyrics. I can, and you want me to draw a line in the sand? Do I support Trump or you? Are you bleeping kidding me? I never thought I would see a day where you would have actors say, okay, well, you know, don't even watch my show if you like Trump. Well, I never thought I would see TV where it's like, okay, here we go. We're just going to bash the president. You know, the same media that gave Eminem Here's a black wannabe rapper that gave him crap is now crapping on Trump. I don't get it. I just don't understand, because when I look at stuff and you look at different things, I would, you know, you don't have Tim Allen, you know, you don't have Tim the Toolman Taylor going, okay, you know, hey, it's either, if you don't support Trump, don't watch my TV show. He's like, watch my show. I don't care. He didn't care if you're liberal. I don't care if you're liberal and you listen to my radio program. It's great that you have different views. I just hate when you have people that don't get it. That just like, well, I mean, it's one thing if you can back up your viewpoint. It's another thing when Trump says something that is word for word what Obama said and word for word what Bill Clinton said, and you're trashing Trump for saying it, but not Obama and Bill Clinton. Like a post I put on, I just want to see Trump tweet something anti-gun. Why? Because I want to see all the liberals defend the Second Amendment. I mean, I just want to see, I seriously want to see him do stuff. Like, I want to see him literally take Obamacare and put his name on it and pass it, and then go, hey, look, that bill, that health care that I've had, that I've shoved in your face, that's the same bill you guys are praising. Now, all of a sudden, you're, like, hating it. It's how we roll, folks. We just roll with the punches, and unfortunately, some things I say are probably not the most appropriate things to say, but I don't apologize. I don't. Sorry. I mean, when you had people, because I love all kinds of news people and talk radio people. And they say things. And we all have different viewpoints. Like, I love Don Imus. And I was offended when he apologized. If you don't agree with what he said, fine. If you agree with what he said, fine. But if you can't say what you feel like in this country as a radio show host, in then there's something wrong. But in this context, you have a right to protest. It doesn't mean you burn the national flag. You have a right to free speech. It doesn't mean you say, I want to kill Trump, I want to kill Obama, I want to kill Hillary Clinton. No, you don't ever talk about killing anybody. That's wrong. I guess there's a thing called common sense. And I try to have that. And the three-letter word try, I try to have. But it doesn't, but when I have conviction and I say, okay, this is how I feel, this is what I think, I'm going to say it. Barring certain words like the N-word, you don't use curse words. Okay, that's just my little thing. Got about 7 minutes left in the program, and I don't know if you've heard about this one, because Jose Mourinho with Manchester United, he was right at home. Well, I'll put it like this, because anybody who is a fan of Manchester United, like I've been for many, 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 many years, I know Jose Mourinho. I've watched him for a long time. When he came to United, he was not my first choice. Not my first choice at all. You know, Pepe Guardiola, sure, I'd take him in a heartbeat. I knew at max, I was giving him 5 years. If it was a max, that's if he stayed as long as I thought his max would be, it'd be 5 years. I figured he'd be a three and done. And I guess his son, he talked about his son, went to Paris to see a game because, you know, they're more, you know, the Premier League games aren't that interesting. And, you know, go, if my dad was the coach of Manchester United and I would go to a PSG game instead of a United game to watch my dad and probably be on the pitch. Well, basically, Jose Mourinho says what he means. And I kind of feel like, and like I said before, here's a blank check. These are the players I want. You get me who I want on this team. You get me the players I want. I want N'Golo, get my team. I want Ronaldo, get him. Lionel Messi, I want him. Or whoever it is. I just pulled out some names. And if we are not winning and we're not successful, you have no one to blame but me. I told you who I wanted, and this is the style I'm planning to do, and this is what I need. And he didn't get, there's no one can tell me, he didn't get who he wanted. He didn't get the players he wanted or the amount of players he wanted. And he feels like, hey, I want to be, I was brought into this organization to win. How can I win if I have things I want to have done and I can't do them? If I say I want these players and I ain't getting the players I'm wanting, they don't trust me enough to give me the, I'm buying a $100 shirt to support Manchester United. I expect to be able to, every 2 years or so, have one that says 21st champions, 22nd time champions. And he feels like he was robbed. And I'm like, well, I'm going to be the manager of a team that won't even support me enough, the owners, to give me the players I want. And if we don't have a title, he can say, hey, he can throw it back on them and say, hey, you know what? Guess what, folks? Guess what, fans? I tried to get you the players. I tried to get the players I wanted so we could have a winning team, and they wouldn't give them to me. Don't blame me. Blame the owners. And he can easily do that. Because he didn't get who he was wanting to have. I mean, the way we played with Liverpool, horrible. He doesn't have the bench he wants. He doesn't have the depth of players he wanted. So I can throw some of it on the air and say, okay, he wanted these people. But I'm not, I support Jose Mourinho while he's our manager. He was not my first choice. I mean, we go into the Champions League tomorrow against Benfica, and hopefully we have a better result than we did against Liverpool, because, I mean, we should have easily beaten Liverpool. I mean, if we didn't have De Gea, we could have easily not even, we could have lost a point. I mean, De Gea was on fire. And that's kind of a, I mean, I'm glad we have him. That was incredible.
Yes. That, I love that game. That was wow.
I mean, nothing against the teams or anything, but I just see a sense of something needs to happen. Something needs to happen at United. You know, the reason why I didn't want Mourinho, not because he's not a great manager. He was successful at Chelsea, and he was like the thorn in our side for many years. But because he's a typical three and out. 2 or 3 years, and he's gone. But I don't want to have a Arsene Wenger that's there for many years, and okay, he's been there and hasn't done hardly anything in the last 7 or 8 years. No hardware, but hey, we're keeping him. I don't want that either. But that's how it is. That's how this world crumbles. We take what we can get, and it's going to be interesting in the coming weeks if he continues this talk like he wants to leave and possibly. And so we'll have to wait and see how that turns out. Well, thank you so much for tuning into the program that you're a part of, folks, and I hope you feel that way. And I hope you understand that there are things that I will say that this is what I believe. This is what I feel. Take it or leave it. Take it or leave it, folks. You know, you got to have convictions. You got to stand behind what, I mean, one of my bosses, he goes, you just know what you want and you just do what you do. You know, it's like, okay, you know, you believe something and you're going to go full force with it. Okay, you know the earth is round and you're not going to let anyone tell you differently. I believe what I believe is a conservative, and until you can prove me that people aren't trying to climb over 17-foot walls to get away from socialism, then I might listen to you. But until then, I know what I believe, and I have convictions, and I stand by them. And remember, folks, with a firm alliance and the protection of divine providence, we mutually pledge each other and our sacred honor. Until this Thursday, good night and God bless. Goodbye.